This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
The Lindsay Clancy case, depending on where you're sitting on this, really almost anywhere you're sitting on it, I'm going to guess there's probably elements of this case that aren't what you think they are. There's a lot of understanding that needs to come along with this case in order to reach conclusions or opinions, for that matter. I like to base opinions on fact, on reality, on established and settled science, and all of that. You know, it's call me crazy, but it seems to be a good way to end up with where you want to go with something. Today we're going to try and get you there. We're going to try and help educate. We're going to try and help inform on various aspects of where this case is at, how it got here, and where it's going. To do just that, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, is with us, along with Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Wednesdays I love, because we get to dive into
goosebumps.
Into psychology, into the mind of what is going on in these cases. And I want to start here, Siobhan, because this seems to be the biggest thing that many people are wrestling with, and rightfully so. I mean, unless this is a world you're well-versed in, it's easy to be tripped out by things like the word psychopath. Mm-hmm. Psychotic, mm-hmm. psychotic state, all those sort of things, because a lot of people paint with a very broad brush and think they're all the same damn things. They're just different tenses of the word. They are not different tenses of the word. They are very different things and mean very different things. And let's just start here. Help me understand, help the audience understand, help everyone understand what it is we're dealing with here. Where was Lindsay Clancy, and where are people misunderstanding what was going on with her?
The terminology can be very confusing. People have to pay a bit of attention to it, and I see lots of educated people who seem to know a lot, but they don't know the difference between a psychopath and psychotic. A psychopath is a person who has a personality type where they're callous, cold, unfeeling. They can do absolutely horrible things. They don't have a conscience. They use people. And this is something that becomes apparent fairly early in life, by their teen years. These are people who get arrested. These are people who commit murder. You know, not all of them, but but it's a dangerous person. And this is nobody just at age 20 or 30 becomes a psychopath. It's somebody who, this is their personality. This is who they are. Psychotic is a brain disease. It's a manifestation of an underlying condition in which a person's thinking becomes distorted. They become disconnected from reality. They often have hallucinations and delusions. Their thinking is impaired. They become very confused. It's a very uncomfortable state. So a psychopath is who you are. Psychosis is something that happens to your brain because of an underlying condition. Often it's schizophrenia. It may be bipolar 1 disorder. You can get it sometimes from other physical problems. But it's really important that people understand, when they're trying to come to judgments about a case like this, are we dealing with a psychopath? Are we dealing with someone who's psychotic? And Lindsay Clancy, clearly from everyone who knew her, this is not a woman who was psychopathic. In fact, she was the opposite of that. This is a woman who developed psychosis.
Why is it then that the prosecution seems to keep trying to walk the jury into seeing Lindsay Clancy as a psychopath? It feels like they're not even registering that psychotic or psychosis is a thing. Mm-hmm. They just keep trying to play on this, like with a different coloring book, going, oh, no, psychopath. See, keep looking. This is what she is, but they keep describing psychotic behavior. It's like they didn't quite understand the difference going into this and are having a hell of a time trying to get 18 other people to understand a concept that they don't really seem to fully grasp themselves.
It's unconscionable that they don't get it, or they're choosing to mislead everyone. Yeah. And this is my problem with what we call the criminal justice system. It's not about justice. It's about winning for your side. Mm-hmm. And so often they end up doing tremendous damage. And we end up with people who were psychopathic and they don't get convicted a lot of the time. And the psychotic people do. Mm-hmm. And it's horrible. It's unconscionable. And as podcasters, we've got a responsibility to put the truth out there, which you are always trying to do. And I appreciate that so much about this show, is we're invested in what's really going on, not what's just sensational and what's going to get everybody fired up. Because people who look at her as a psychopath, they want her to fry. You know, they want what they're calling justice, and it's not justice. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, matter of fact, I want to riff on that a little bit, Siobhan, because I was talking to Tony offline about this yesterday, because I was seeing that people are saying they want justice for the children, and there's no bringing the children back. There is no justice for them. What people are actually seeking is why we're seeing a lot of vitriol towards Lindsay is they want retribution.
Yes.
And that can be a very powerful emotion for people. But I want to just, because I want to take it back a little bit here to even more something a little simpler and get your opinion on it. And that is, so the prosecute, and so we can take psychopathy out of it, we can take psychosis out of it, we can just go back to pure behavior we've observed, and that's been the testimony so far, and from what we've heard even beforehand in socials when it regards Lindsay, and compare it to what the prosecution said. I know I'm kind of butcher their claim about what they're doing, because she's claimed responsibility. She says she's killed her children. So that's not up for debate. What we're trying to do is understand the mental state of her. But what the prosecution is saying is that it was intentional, pre-planned, because she was sick of being a mother. It was overwhelming it too much, and she wanted to end her kids' lives and her life because she was overwhelmed. She didn't want to do it anymore. Have you seen or observed, as a professional, any behavior whatsoever during this entire testimony that we've seen so far, or even what we've seen rumored on socials, that gives any indication or even a glimmer that that's accurate whatsoever, regardless of psychosis?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Everyone that knew her that's testified thus far, and I'm sure there will be more, including the nanny, said what a wonderful mother she was, how dedicated to those children, how hard she worked, you know, to give them a beautiful home, a beautiful life. She was diligent in every way. As I said before, she was reading books to them when they were little babies. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a person who is dedicated. And it's just heartbreaking to hear this falsehood that, oh, she was just tired of being a mother. It doesn't fit at all.
It doesn't even fit the current testimony. I've been watching every single day, like I know we all have. And even at night, my wife is like, what are you doing? Because I got this on late at night. So I've missed it during the day. Like right now, we're missing it right now. And I'm watching it at night. And so as you're listening to every single, and I had to get my list. I know, Siobhan, we'll go through these too. I got my list of all the different mental health professionals that I've never even heard of before, that all of these uncoordinated ones, which we're really seeing in the testimony here, uncoordinated people saying all the steps that she was doing. I mean, the list of mental health professionals, matter of fact, one of the things I did was I researched, is this normal for someone to see this many different people when they're in crisis? No. So what's this say? Did she give up? Did she just call it quits and say, I don't want to do this anymore? I want to stop trying?
No.
So again, incongruent, totally incongruent. So the prosecution is actually making the point against what their claim is by doing this. Again, this is all going to be up to the jury. I'm not justifying whatsoever the killing of her three kids. It's about understanding what caused it.
Yeah. And she said repeatedly, I have three legal pads because I'm doing my notes by hand that are full already. And I'm scribbling away as I'm listening. But she said at one point, I feel I'm not being heard. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm going to die. she was increasingly desperate, telling people, I'm having terrible thoughts. I'm afraid I'm going to hurt the kids. I'm thinking about that I could become suicidal, which I think means she was suicidal. And, you know, people were just not listening. They were not paying attention. And it's normal to go to different providers when you go to one for a couple visits and you feel like they're not listening.
Right.
They're not getting it. And you're desperate. And so you try to find somebody else who's going to listen. And it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, when you're already in that sort of a state, without the help of horrible providers, if you're already feeling hopeless and desperate, sometimes you walk into a provider looking for that hand, that help, and it seems that you walk out of their office going, oh, it seemed like they found more ways to make me feel more hopeless and more desperate. And that's what happened here. I mean, I don't see how anyone sees it any other way, quite honestly, of just how broken this was. I mean, do psychotic people, psychopaths, and this is not what she is, just so we're talking about psychopath versus someone who's in a psychotic state. Do psychopaths seek out help? Do they admit
Absolutely
their problems?
Not.
Do they take care of their children? Do they do all these good things and leave have a track record of life that is anything but psychotic? Yeah. I mean, that's not what's going on here.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They never seek help.
Yeah.
They don't think there's anything wrong with them. They go through life exploiting other people and seeing how much they can get away with.
Corey
and
Richards.
Yes, the last thing a psychopath wants to do is have a mental health person look at them. You know, they're going to stay away from that.
You know, I really wondered too, what popped in my mind when I was just talking about, when we were talking about the number of professionals that she was seeking and shopping around, because one's not working, another not working. I wonder, because again, as you all know, I tout my amazing daughter so much in these things because she is that labor and delivery nurse. So I feel so identified with the nurses involved in this. So she has a level of understanding of what good people look like as well and what shit looks like, I'm wondering. So I wonder if that was even like a subconscious part of her is like, well, this ain't working, we got to move on. This ain't working, got to move on. This ain't working, mm-hmm. got to move on. And you know what I really found compelling as well, listening to all the testimonies, because it's a consistent, there's so many consistent themes that all these mental health professionals are sharing about Lindsay. She was always so concerned with getting addicted also to all the medication she's mm-hmm. on. That was at the forefront. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, they even said yesterday, I think it was with, I don't want to butcher it. I think it was actually with Julie Paul. No, it wasn't with Julie Paul. It was Rebecca Gelada, that how guilty she felt even for drinking any alcohol.
Yes.
So she completely gave that up. I mean, she was so, I mean, if someone had given up, they're not that conscious and conscientious about mm-hmm. doing these things, mm-hmm. Or am I off?
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. And the concern about, I don't want to become an addict. This is a person with a conscience. This is a person who cared.
Good point.
She wanted to do the right thing. She didn't want to become an addict. And those drugs, if you overtake them, yes, there is a risk of addiction. She was not overtaking them, but that shows a person who's trying her best to do the right thing and be a good mother.
So here's a question for you, Siobhan. I'm going to hit you off the bat on this one because it's a good word because we're seeing conscientiousness. With someone with that level of conscientiousness outside of a psychotic break, are they capable of committing murder?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. They would not hurt another person intentionally ever. Yeah. Conscientiousness is a personality trait that can be measured, and she would score very high in conscientiousness.
Yeah.
She took life very seriously and tried to do the right thing.
We got to phone that into Reddington.
One of the big things that we're hearing a lot of chatter about on the internets is Clancy told her providers that she did not have any thoughts of harming herself or her children. She said it directly more than once to more than half of them. Her husband testified that she was telling him something very different. A lot of people throw out there, well, why would she hide that from her own doctor? Why is she saying one thing to him and one thing to the providers, or this you know, kind of mismatch of thoughts or different thoughts at different times. What a novel idea. Her emotions are changing. She's going from highs and lows, which is kind of part of what happens with this sort of thing. But again, you have to understand that this is how this sort of thing works. Explain that, if you will, so people can better understand why there may be discrepancies or differences in the way she's presenting to different people.
And there's two facets of this. One is that a provider who's seeing her for 15, 20 minutes is only getting a snapshot of that day at that moment. Mm. And that may have been her perception or her reality at that time. But there's another insidious piece of this. I don't have proof of it, but I have seen it happen in large clinics. This idea that records are kept by drop-down menus.
Oh, my God.
You've got choices here.
Oh, my God. That was bone-crushing.
And it gives you three choices to answer something that is very complicated. And that is bad treatment. But so many places are using these electronic medical record system because it's quick and easy to, you know, to process in their system. It's a drop-down menu. And the other really insidious thing is that they tend to populate what was said last time and automatically carries it over and fills it into next time. So I have to say, when I heard repeatedly, was there suicidal ideation? Was there homicidal ideation? They look down at their notes and they say no. We don't know. Did they really ask? Did they really ask? And do they remember whether they asked? Did they ask every time? I'm very suspicious of that.
Siobhan, what was your reaction when you saw Dr. Tufts on the stand? She was green. Everybody's new at some point. Everybody's got to, you know, I give her that. But the seeming acceptance, complacency, just like, this is how it works. And not thinking that you could strive to do any better. I didn't get any of that from her. I got someone who's toeing the line. Well, this is what the rules are. We're going to follow them. Despite, you know, her own eyes, her own ears telling her a very different story. If it wasn't on the drop-down menu.
Exactly.
Well we just got to pick what's best on the drop-down.
What's on the drop-down menu.
And move the cattle call along. That's what it felt like to me. But her level of complacency of just being okay with this is how the system works is what really shocked me.
Willing ignorance.
There were several points I wanted to scream at the monitor. I had to restrain myself. Yeah. So I just started writing it down. But Dr. Tufts, her inexperience was glaring because after you're experienced, and let's say you have several years under your belt, you get pretty good at pattern recognition. Mm-hmm. You get pretty good at spotting, you know, this is just not anxiety. This is just not depression. We need to be looking deeper here. She was not looking deeper. She missed red flags. My guess is she was just doing some repeating the data on the form from the last time. Certainly not exploring enough. I have a whole list. The first one, which I give the attorney credit, when he asked her, did you do thyroid levels? Mm-hmm. And she said, no, there's no reason to. It's not related to this at all. Google it. Everybody knows thyroid levels have everything to do with mood disorders. If your thyroid levels are too high, you can become very anxious. If your thyroid levels are too low, you can become very depressed. And the good psychiatrists that I have worked with, before they start a medication, they say, we're going to get labs done. We're going to look if there's anything glaring psychologically, you know, that affects your labs could be affecting that because there are health things that could be affecting you psychologically. And they always look at thyroid because sometimes we're treating someone with an antidepressant when they're hypothyroid. They can be severely hypothyroid. And if you correct the thyroid condition, the depression goes away. So that was absolutely glaring. Anybody can look that up. Effective thyroid on mood, effective thyroid on psychology, whatever you want to do, look it up. Everybody should know that. And she just blatantly said it doesn't have anything to do with it.
And so that's a professional. That's what's made me, I'm like, I'm not a medical professional. I'm a podcaster. And I knew that. I think a lot of people generally know that who just are somewhat informed on the subject. Yeah. And she's up there all her years of school. Granted, she's young, she's green, but come on. It was almost like saying that, well, the person drowned. What was the water level in the pool? Well, water has nothing to do with that. What do you mean water has nothing to do with that?
So here's what she gave herself credit for. You know, in order to be an MD, because I looked these up, she needed 10,000 hours of clinicals. What the fuck did she get 10,000 hours in? It wasn't that. I mean, it was, and so kind of redirect back on this one, Siobhan. So how do you, you know, in a system where she said she only had 13 minutes for her counseling session, how do you overcome the snapshot? What can she do? I mean, what should people do? How do you overcome that snapshot? I mean, again, it's a rhetorical question with her because she did everything wrong on it. But I mean, what do you do if the system only says you have 13 to 15 minutes for a clinical assessment of someone? How can you spot something in that amount of time? Or is it completely ludicrous?
We are required by our ethical rules, and we're all supposed to know what the ethical rules are, to protect the patient, to do quality treatment, to act in the best interest of the patient. And you fight for the amount of time that you need. And if somebody is saying, but you have to see this many patients in a day because we're churning them, because we need more income and we churn and this is the time you've got, which is a problem throughout the medical system. It's a problem with primary care doctors who work in agencies. But this is why I work solo. I work solo because if somebody needs an hour, well, everybody gets an hour with me, everybody. That's just my standard time. And for an intake, they usually get an hour and a half. And if I have any red flags, anything that's off, I will see them twice a week with a phone call in between and emails in between. And so you've got to take your own ethical standards. And it doesn't matter what the agency says, you fight the agency or you get out of the agency and you do it solo, you know, because that's always an option.
Yeah. It's like either you do it right or don't do it at all.
Exactly.
You know, otherwise you're not in it for the right reasons.
100%.
This is not selling, you know, Nathan's hot dogs on a stand. This is people's mental health.
Yeah.
So either you do it right or you don't do it
at all.
That's
been my philosophy. Yeah. And when I've worked in, I worked in mobile crisis, I worked in community health, where these were systems that had more requirements, although I would say we were never limited to 15 minutes. If you needed an hour, you could get an hour. Mm-hmm. But I didn't always feel like I had the support to do the quality of care that was necessary. I left because that causes me too much distress if I don't see the quality treatment being done.
Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue our conversation today about the Lindsay Clancy case as we continue to break this down.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.